That's it. That's it.
Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
Welcome to our show here on April 21st, 2015. We're interviewing Stephen Bassett, who's been a guest quite a few times on Night Search tonight. And I'm going to let Augie Noss from Tucson do the little introduction tonight, and then we'll be off to the races. That's Augie actually talking on another phone with our guest tonight. Just be patient. He'll bring him on shortly.
Yeah, I just talked to Stephen, and he is calling in as probably the next 5 seconds.
Okay. I'm going to let you do our introduction tonight.
That'll be fine, and until we receive him here, maybe you could mention a few things about him that you know of, and I could do likewise.
Well, he's been working on this project, gosh, 6-7 years or more on the disclosure, and he's had the citizens' hearing on UFO disclosure. He's got senators, former representatives of Congress to listen to the testimony and judge the credibility of it, which is totally credible, with these military former pilots and police officers, radar control operators, and all coming forward to testify. I don't know how many he has. I know it's well over 100 people who've testified. So he's reaching a point, I think, of a denouement on this. And he's got some exciting updates tonight, I'm sure. He's been close many times. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a wall of evidence that is coming forward here, and it's not going to last much longer. They cannot stonewall this much longer. And, of course, we also know that the Russian president, Medvedev, he has made the first disclosure already, also very not long ago. He talked to a reporter where he explained that, yes, the alien present is here. And he said, I cannot tell you how many it is, he says, or, you know, anything else, because then the panic will start, he said. It was a short interview, but he let it out that they're here, and he can't say much about it beyond that for right now, but... That was the first, and this is the first crack in the dam, I think. And from there on, there is an avalanche coming, and I'm just kind of looking forward to see what's going to happen after it becomes common knowledge that there is an alien presence, and NASA is a scam for looking for, and so is SETI and all the others. They're already here, and there's going to be some backlash to this, and I surely hope so.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to speculate, get him to say what he thinks the world will be like for the general population if formal disclosure did occur.
Yeah.
Is he in there in the queue yet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, that's your cue, sir. We were just doing a little introduction there.
Of course, if he is the calling in, he's got to dial 1 to get into the queue.
Yeah, any listeners
so
are one.
So he can speak. Dial 1 to
get
point,
in. Yeah, later the show will open up for callers. Stephen, thanks for being on again. You've been on many times, actually, our show, and I sure appreciate your willingness to come back on again, and I think you've got probably some exciting updates here because you're reaching, I think, a denouement, possibly. So can you share some recent news with us?
Sure. Happy to. I just finished a 4-city tour of Canada where there's a lot of energy. I was out in Montreal, Toronto, Calgary, Vancouver. And that was all fine. I'll be back in Washington, D.C. on the 5th of May. We are making considerable progress with the Congressional Hearing Initiative. Now, what I mean by that.
Okay.
I heard that from the entire citizen hearing on disclosure. We launched a...
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Social media campaign. Okay.
Yeah.
Am I cutting in and out by any chance?
You cut out just a little bit there. I don't know. Is it the Skype?
Well, if it gets...
Yeah, it seems like it's...
Forgive me, I am... It's still cutting in and out.
Yeah, it might be buffering a little bit on you.
Who knows what's doing. Skype is unpredictable. I've got a strong Wi-Fi connection here, but if you want to switch over to cell phone, just call me on the number of your call. What would you like to do?
Yeah, Rhonda, does she have that phone number, Augie?
Yeah.
202-215 number.
Yeah, Rhonda, could you call him on that cell phone number? I think it's, what is it, a 202 exchange?
Yep. Then you...
202-215-8344.
Yeah, you need to hang up, and then you get unmuted.
Yes. No,
and she will call you.
Okay. Well, sometimes we do have some technical difficulties. He's calling in on Skype, and apparently Skype is not doing very well here.
Yep. I guess that's why I don't have Skype.
All right, fellas. Yes, Skype is can be great, and sometimes it can be bad. You just never really know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're hearing you good. So pick up the thread of what you were saying before we got Skyped out there.
Yeah, the Congressional Hearing Initiative was launched on November 5. It's moving along at a good steady pace. We shipped the DVD record of the entire citizen hearing on disclosure, all 30 hours, to every congressional office. We launched a social media campaign and generated well over 1 million messages to the House and the Senate. I arrived on the 20th of November. The public, our publicist got in play in early December. We got articles in the Washington Times, a couple of articles there. During the transition period leading up to the new Congress, between the election and January the 3rd, on January the 3rd, I put in a verbal request to meet with legislative liaison staff to 170 offices. Worked those through January. And then in February, I put in fax requests to meet with legislative liaison staffers to 75 offices of 5 key committees. And then on February the 13th, just a few days after I had sent a fax request in, which included a full paragraph about the Rockefeller Initiative and the involvement of Secretary Clinton, President Clinton, John Podesta, and others in that initiative, which they had never talked about, is when John Podesta, inexplicably, upon leaving his job as the counselor advisor to the president, before taking his next job on as advisor to Hillary Clinton, put out a tweet in which he stated that his biggest regret for 2014 was once again not getting the UFO files released. And he copied Maureen Dowd, a columnist of the Washington, of the New York Times. This was an amazing act on his part. Totally inexplicable. There's no way that a top advisor to a president, about to become the top advisor to the leading candidate to be the next president, walks out the door of the White House and immediately puts a tweet out saying his biggest regret, not a regret, but his biggest regret for 2014 was not getting UFO files released. And the reason that he did it, I'm pretty sure, the reason that Bill Clinton appeared on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, April the 2nd, last year, is that the Clinton team, which includes Podesta, knows that the Rockefeller Initiative is about to become news. Big news, finally, 22 years after it started. Because, and the problem they face is that none of the people involved who are aware of it during the Clinton administration has ever spoken publicly about it, never said a word. And they haven't been asked any questions by any media. And so they've got a lot of explaining to do, and it's going to generate news. So he produced that tweet. That got me some media, additional media coverage, including a very significant article in Roll Call magazine, or Roll Call newspaper, rather, which is one of the top political papers in Washington servicing Congress, the entire Congress. All right? This was a huge article which covered everything and actually had in it for the first time in any news publication, mainstream news, a link to the Rockefeller Initiative evidence, which is on my website at paradigmresearchgroup.org. That got the responses from the Hill going, and meetings started getting set up. And these meetings began in late February and are continuing, a meeting on both the House side and the Senate side. Not too long after, I had had several meetings on the House and Senate side with staffers. Suddenly, Barack Obama turns up on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. And Kimmel asked him exactly the same question he asked Clinton back in April the 2nd of last year when he released the UFO files. And Obama had some interesting responses that were half serious, half joking. Why did he do that? Why did he schedule himself on that show and ask that that question be asked? Because that's the way it works. Presidents and ex-presidents don't go on the show and just wing it. Is because he is completely hooked to the Clinton. He's part of the Clinton world. Because he hired Podesta as his campaign transition chair, he hired Hillary Clinton as his Secretary of State, Leon Panetta as his Secretary of Defense and CIA Director, Bill Richardson, he tried to get in Secretary of Commerce. He's totally hooked to the Clintons. And he knows that it's about to become a story. And so he went on there to sort of inoculate himself. That generated another article, a big one in Mother Jones magazine, which is one of the progressive publications in the United States. Huge article. Had a big graphic of Hillary Clinton being beamed up into a saucer, believe it or not, as well as links to everything, videos, the works, including a link to the Rockefeller Initiative. That's where things stand now. There are the stories and the works. This issue is in play, and in the middle of all this, in the middle of this coverage of the Rockefeller Initiative emerging, of course, Secretary Clinton announced that she is running for the presidency, which is still 18 months away, and that she intends to raise $2.5 billion.
Wow. Are you still there, Stephen?
I am here. Did you all get that? You get the... an idea what's going on?
Yeah, $2.5 billion.
$2.5 billion is what she intends to raise to run for president. Yes.
Well, if it takes money to become president, then she's got it, right?
It takes a lot of money. Well, she hasn't got it yet. She's going to raise it. Americans are going to give her $2.5 billion. And if she wins the presidency, I don't know if anything will change. But
no.
For $2.5 billion, the least they should get is the truth. As much truth as she can possibly muster. And the Rockefeller Initiative is unavoidable now. And she needs to explain why the Clintons gauged the ET issue at Rockefeller's request for 3 years. And why they never said anything about it. And once that dialogue begins, things could get very interesting.
Yeah. I remember that Bill Clinton was asked that question many, many years ago while he was in the White House, if he could look into the UFO issue, and he said that he would, and he came back and said they wouldn't tell me anything. Do you think that is actually true, or do you think he really knew?
Well, that's what he told Sarah McClendon, according to Sarah, White House correspondent. Sarah McClendon is now passed, but I can't confirm that quote, but I knew Sarah well. Then again, he spoke about it in Hong Kong in 2004. He gave a very similar response that he gave to Jimmy Kimmel on April 2nd. Look, these people know there's an extraterrestrial presence. Probably every high-end person in the Democratic Republican Party are fully aware that there's an extraterrestrial presence. Certainly their brain trusts it. They know there's a truth embargo. They know that there's risk in breaking that embargo, and it's difficult. And they, but because the people are aware of it, and by the millions, and because the evidence is everywhere, they have to do this dance. They have to dance around this issue. It's becoming rather amusing.
Mm-hmm.
And play this game. And the problem is not just that they're dancing around the UFO ET issue. Rather, they're started dancing around virtually every issue. You cannot get substantive response. You cannot get the truth, which is why the American people are having a terrible time electing competent politicians who can really get jobs done. They don't know what they're getting. It's a pig in a poke. It's a blind test. It's just not working. And because it's not working, because people are confused, frustrated, and increasingly not even bothering to vote, the politicians have got to raise more and more money to somehow get the few that will vote to come out and vote for them. I mean, it's just an awful situation. $4 billion is the projected cost of the 2016 presidential and congressional races. $4 billion for what? And the campaigns are well underway 18 months away from the election, as if we don't have better things to do.
Yeah.
So, but that's good. Good for the ET issue, because she's now got to weather 18 months, and I don't think she can, of pressure on her involvement with this issue. And I don't think she can do it. I think she's going to have to engage it very, very soon.
I hope so. Yeah. I think, though, that sooner or later on the campaign trail, there's going to be so many questions about it that an answer is expected. And without that answer, she's going to lose her contingency that she is a competent. They're going to see that, hey, she's lying about that. What else will she lie about? So they're going to shut the ball off her wagon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, remember at my website, paradigmresearchgroup.org, and at Grant Cameron's website, presidentialufo.com, there are hundreds of documents obtained from the White House science office under FOIA that confirm all that we're talking about. There's no way around it. There's no way to run from it, assuming if they're asked anything.
Yeah.
As long as the press asks them nothing, they don't say anything, well, they're fine. But that ship is now about to sail. So if they try to lie, and literally the proof of that will be on the Internet for everybody to see. So I don't see any way around this other than Hillary Clinton cannot risk dodging this issue for 18 more months with the idea that, well, she'll finally do something when she's president. She doesn't have 18 months. It's not going to last that long. And so I would hope that rather than be browbeaten into engaging this issue or chased all over the place by reporters waving documents in their hand, that they will proactively get out in front of this and take credit for what they've attempted to do and acknowledge that there's clearly something real here. They wish they'd gotten information back then. That will pretty much open things wide open and guarantee congressional hearings. So there's a very complex political game going on in Washington, and all I can say is that the ET issue is more in play in Washington, D.C., and in electoral politics than it ever has been since Roswell.
Wow. Do you think the media will ask her the difficult questions here?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Well, the media, the reporters, when they interview her, when she does, you know, press conferences, will they ask her these difficult questions and press her on that issue?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask any questions they want.
But will they ask these questions about the disclosure?
Well, look. First, it's the Rockefeller edition. But once you get that going, these are legitimate questions from the media's perspective, because it involves a past president, another person who has run for president now twice, and other high-level figures. It is a legitimate question to ask about the Rockefeller Initiative. Now, once those questions start getting going, you can imagine where this can all go to. The media, look.
And Stephen, there may be some people listening here that is not totally familiar with the Rockefeller Initiative. Would you maybe say a few words about that?
What about the Rockefeller Initiative?
Yes,
for our listeners that are not familiar with what that is, and I'm sure many of our listeners really don't know what it is.
Yeah. Okay, look, if you want to find out, you need to go to presidentialufo.com and click on the Clinton section, or go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, go into the site, click on the Rockefeller Initiative, quick link. But Lawrence Rockefeller was a billionaire, son of John D. He was a friend of the Clintons, a big backer of the Democratic Party. When the Cold War ended, he knew that it was time to finally end the truth embargo on the ET issue. That's not the only embargo that should have ended then. The Cuba embargo should have ended in 1992 as well. And so he approached the Clinton administration formally with a memo sent by his attorney on March the 29th of 1993. And what began a dialogue and meetings, strategy sessions at Rockefeller's ranch in Wyoming. The Clintons went and met with him in Wyoming in 1995. Researchers were brought to Wyoming to talk strategy. Most of these people are still alive. And it went on for 3 years. And ultimately, Clinton asked Hubble to look into it at Justice. Hubble did so, and elsewhere he got indicted and put to prison. He asked Podesta to at least give him a basis to put out a new executive order, increasing the process where documents are declassified.
Yeah.
But there was no UFO hook to that. Whatever else he tried to do, he was blocked. We don't know the specifics. And then, of course, he was coming under attack from all directions, and they impeached him and so forth. But this was a three-year effort that could have ended up in disclosure under President Clinton. That is the Rockefeller Initiative, 93 to 96. And if you go to those websites, you can actually see the documents that confirm it.
I kind of think there would be a strategic event on Mrs. Clinton's part to make this revelation, because people would then look at her and say, she's the one that broke the silence, and that could work in her advantage.
Well, that is a very astute assessment, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Here is the Clinton's problem. If Hillary Clinton wants to be the disclosure president, which I can assure you is a legacy many, many, many times greater than being the first woman president.
Oh, yeah.
Or put another way, the 69th woman to be a head of state in the world. Right? Just to put things in perspective. Then the truth embargo is going to last two more years. Almost two more years. And it's falling apart. It's not going to make it. So, what are her choices? Well, if the Clinton team were to proactively embrace that history and speak about it, come forward, can help trigger even greater media and possibly congressional hearings that DOJ is seeking. Obama will end up being the disclosure president, but Obama's a Democrat. And so the legacy will go to Obama, but also go to the Democratic Party. Of course, she belongs to that party. More importantly, because of the Clintons' involvement in 93, because of statements made by Podesta in 2002, 2003, by Bill Richards in 2004, the Clinton group will be grandfathered into that legacy. They will get a lot of credit for trying. And they can say they were blocked by the Pentagon or whatever. So she doesn't get to be the disclosure president, but she gets a substantial historical legacy, and her party gets to be the disclosure party. Or she can selfishly think she can deny and lie her way for two more years and then come in and then maybe disclose and be that person. So that's the problem they face. That's the political equation they're trying to solve.
I have made a prediction here, Stephen, that we will have disclosure to the first level of it by the end of this year, in fact, by October. Do you have in your mind any timeline on this for yourself that you are thinking?
Well, define first level. What do you mean by that?
Well, that will... The first level I'm talking about is what I've seen. That is, yes, they are here. And there might disclose that there are some that have had contacts with government, but they will not disclose any of the technologies or anything that's going to help the people.
Okay. Well, first level is disclosure. Disclosure is defined in the advocate movement very, very, very precisely.
Yeah.
Disclosure, capital D, is the formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by the heads of state of world governments, probably starting with one head of state first, which will probably but not necessarily be the president of the United States. That is disclosure.
That has
so
actually already happened. That has happened, Steve.
Just a little while ago, Medvedev
in Russia, he admitted on camera with an interviewer that, yes, the aliens are here. And he was asked how many of them, and he says, I really can't say it's because then the panic will start. You probably see
that. Well, first of all, of course I have. I would encourage your readers to go and review that YouTube clip,
yep.
Medvedev UFO. You can easily find it.
Yeah.
These are remarks made after an interview with a reporter wherein he thought the camera, or he may have thought that the camera was turned off.
Yeah, I think so.
Does not even begin to rise to the level of disclosure. It can easily be denied, and of course it was delivered in a way that some thought it was a joke. Disclosure is when Putin,
yeah,
in the Kremlin, sits down in front of a microphone and broadcasts to the entire Russian people, There's an extraterrestrial presence. What happened with Medvedev is not disclosure, Pat. It's not even close. But it is interesting. It is a limited hangout, and it might have even been a message to the United States that you're not the only country that knows what's going on.
Yeah. I think, though, that there also has been these rumors, you know, that Putin has told Obama that you make the disclosure, otherwise I will. Do you think there's something to that?
I have no idea. If Obama has said that, but there have been many countries now that have released files,
yeah,
started up research or investigation programs, new ones or reopened old ones, particularly in South America. There's a lot of going on where countries are sending messages by diplomacy by other means to the United States. That they're not particularly interested in keeping this embargo on much longer. The same thing happened over Cuba. the United States was constantly getting messages of one kind or another, mostly from South American countries, that the Cuba embargo didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know.
And particularly since 92. And as it happens, 22 years after the end, or 20 years after the end of the Cold War, the United States is now lifting that embargo. And so I'm looking for two embargoes to be lifted this year. Obviously, the latter is a lot more significant than the former.
You know, this explanation that they give us, you know, that they can't release the UFO information because they expect that the people will panic. That don't fly anymore. Why do you think the opposition is so strong? Is it because of the new technologies that will surface, or is it other things?
Well, first of all, the opposition has been declining for years.
Yeah.
Think of the truth embargo as not being incredibly strong, but rather as hanging on. And it's increasingly hanging on by a thread. Now, remember, the truth embargo is the failure to acknowledge the extraterrestrial presence. It's not the revealing of everything the government knows or the bringing out of alien or extraterrestrial-derived technology. That's another matter. That may be difficult, may be harder, don't know. It is nothing more than the acknowledgement and the ability of the government and the press to maintain the wall in front of that acknowledgement is rapidly decaying. And so it's not strong. It's highly vulnerable. And PRG is looking to resolve the issue this year.
We're at the top of the hour, by the way, just past the top of the hour. We'll take time. I just invite listeners, if they want to call in with a question or comment, and call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. And I was going to ask you, have you been on some other radio shows today by any chance?
Today?
Yeah.
No, not today.
I was just wondering, you sound a little hoarse. I thought maybe you'd been on some other radio shows and kind of wore your vocal cords out a bit there.
No, I was, I've just spent 2 weeks on a Canadian speaking tour and seven flights. I picked up a virus on one of those flights and I'm just getting over it now. Yeah.
So, well, I hope we're not taxing you too much here to be on tonight. And
oh, not at all, not at all. Man, I'm just hoarse. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, anyway, your website they need to go to is, would you just give out the two websites again for our listeners, and if you would?
Well, the Rockefeller Initiative, you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, and you go into the main site and click on the Rockefeller Initiative link. Or you can go to presidentialufo.com. Now, if you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org and you click on the main graphic there, it will take you to the status page for the entire Congressional Hearing Initiative, where you can read about the current status. You can links to the press releases, the past and future interviews by me on the Congressional Hearing Initiative. We call it the CHI. My lecture schedule and the media coverage of all this. Pretty comprehensive. And it's changing all the time. So that you can do. And that's a lot. And that'll keep you up to speed on what's going on.
Okay. Now, what about the DVD? Is it available for purchase now? Could you tell our listeners about that?
The commercial quality version of the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure is available for the it's available to purchase download of it at citizenhearing.org. That's singular, citizenhearing.org. I believe the commercial DVD sets, not downloads, but sets, will be available pretty soon. I know that contributors have been getting their sets, those that contributed to the DVD editing campaign and so forth. So it won't be much longer. The congressional hearing sets are not for sale and never will be, at least publicly. And they are not commercial quality. They are adequate quality in order to serve the congressional hearing initiative.
Do you think the DVD might be available by the end of June?
Very possible. I would think so, yes.
The reason I'm asking, we're having the World UFO Day celebration in Memphis, July the 2nd. Got Travis Walton coming in to speak, as well as Peter Robbins, and a police officer who had a famous sighting in Memphis in 77. And this is snowballing. It looks like we're going to get major media attention and a huge turnout for this. And we're going to be showing some documentary, the Travis Walton new documentary that Peter Robbins co-produced. And we're showing the Phoenix Lights documentary of Lynn Katai. And it would be cool if we could show some of your DVD at our big conference. It's going to be a major public awareness effort here on the UFO phenomenon. So that's what it'd be cool if we could do that. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a fair chance that you will be able to acquire that DVD prior to that.
That would be great. We're talking about educating the public, man. This would be something, you know, extremely valuable along that line. So.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Okay, so once again, if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, you can call us 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. Any questions or comments of our guest tonight?
And then to get in the queue where you can say anything, then you need to dial one to get into the queue.
Yeah, you definitely have to dial one once you get in there, because it doesn't let you know that you need to do that. Used to. So what's your prediction then? What's really going to happen here before the end of the year? I mean, that you feel quite confident in predicting.
Look, when it comes to things like the government changing its policy on the most profound issue in the history of the human race, you don't so much predict as you, how would you say, analyze. What I'm trying to say, what I will say, is that the window of opportunity for disclosure is about as wide open as I've seen it. And the Congressional Hearing Initiative, based around the citizen hearing on disclosure, is the key to possibly opening this door. And we've got a really good chance to do it this year, and PRG's intention is to do it this year. But I am certainly not going to predict it's going to happen this year, because the world is way too complicated, and there's a whole lot of bad things that could take place at any time that would completely derail this advocacy movement. So all I can say, that's why we hope people will step up and support this work. We need funding. We need another $25,000 at least to drive the process through the end of July. So we can get it done now. Not wait. We'll wait for it to be handed to us.
How many do you have now?
How many what?
How many that is signed on to your petitions, or how do you?
Not a petition. I'm meeting with congressional staffer.
Yes.
Okay. And you meet with staffers, and then eventually you cross over, and based on referrals, you start meeting with committee staffers. And then an organic process develops in which the actual members, the representatives or senators, are persuaded that it's in the interest of the United States for the committee in question to hold hearings. I am looking for at least 25 witnesses. In other words, hearings for at least 25 witnesses. not interested at all in bringing a couple of people in to flap their whips for half a day. No way. That process is ongoing, and I will continue to meet with staffers and continue to pursue this, as well as, of course, continue to try to find breakthroughs in the mainstream media for the coming months. And as long as we're making progress, PRG will stay in Washington and pursue this.
Have you got any or how many of the senators do you think that will be have said that they will back you? Have anybody stepped forward and said that?
No, that takes time. Again, this is a process that takes some time.
Yeah.
You meet with staffers. You meet with the chief of staff. You meet with committee staffers. Well before you sit down in front of a senator. So people need to be patient. And to stand behind this effort. They already have. I mean, we generated, as I say, over 1 million tweets and Facebook messages, hashtag disclosure. We've already gotten a serious article in the Washington Times, Roll Call, Mother Jones Magazine. There'll be others, The Atlantic. But that's just the beginning. Assuming I can keep paying her, my publicist is her job is to get me on every single talk show in Washington, D.C. And that's our goal, and that's what we're certainly going to try to do. And that obviously will raise the issue even higher. This is all happening at the beginning of what will be one of the most complex, one of the most probably ugly and most expensive presidential campaigns in American history. And so we are going to have a lot of opportunity to get this thing into play in the electoral process and soon. When the media is in election mode, question mode. So as I say, the window is as open, wide as any time. And my engagement of this issue going back to 1996.
I got a quick question here, and that's something that puzzles a lot of people, I think. And that is, many people think, why in the world is this still covered up? Do you think it's the oil industry that is behind that, aircraft industry, medical industry, or who do you think are the major players in keeping the lid on the can?
The truth embargo is a national security policy signed off on by the early presidents during and post Roswell. Possibly with congressional awareness, not sure. It was a major national security policy. It is still. It's been run from within the Pentagon, well, within the military intelligence groups, probably with some involvement from military contractors under deep security clearance. Just like the Cuba embargo was a national security policy of the United States, right? And it is still in place for many reasons. It's very complicated. But the principal problem with the Cold War, I don't think any consensus to throw this issue into play. While we were at seconds, at any given moment, seconds away from complete annihilation in a nuclear exchange, it was simply too difficult to predict the effects of this paradigm change, this world changing event under those circumstances. So by the time the Cold War was over, in 92, by early 92, the embargo had already been in place for about 40-some years. It was institutionalized. It was virtually in the political DNA, in the journalistic DNA. Mm-hmm. So it was just the way things were. So it had a very substantial inertia already attached to it. So that helped to keep it going. But then the equations that needed to be solved were still complicated. And so it's dragged on. We're now in our 23rd year. The principal problem that I believe has prevented it, which is somewhat easy to understand, is that the effect of not only have we had a truth embargo, but over the last, I would say, going back to late 70s, maybe, the military intelligence world has grown even greater. By 2009, the American military spending on both overt and covert programs, defense and offensive, exceeded the spending of all the other countries in the world. It was at about $650 billion. And that's probably low. I doubt that's all of it. But the other countries are probably underreporting anyway. So just in proportion, there was more and more money than any other nation in the world. A lot of this money has built this vast intelligence complex, and what has happened is that this group has pulled the issue out from under the presidency and out from under the Congress itself. There's no oversight and no access anymore. And so if you're on the Intelligence Committee, forget it. You can't go and see anything. You're not going to be told. And as a result, they created a somewhat of a conundrum, because if the president doesn't have access, then the president can't go before the American people and announce the ET presence without having information, without having the support of the Pentagon. It would be a big mistake. And the Pentagon or the military intelligence community can't do it, because that's treason. They are not the executive branch. They work for the president. He is the commander-in-chief. They can't start talking about the ET presence. They have to keep their mouth shut. And so they can't talk about it, and the president can't talk about it. So they box themselves into a corner, and they can't, which prevents them from moving forward. What we're trying to do in the advocacy movement is to put enough pressure on this whole situation, particularly for the media, that the Pentagon and the president realize at some point that it is far better for them to get together and finally cut the deal that has been missing all these years, where the president satisfies the Pentagon's needs, and the Pentagon provides what the president needs. And so with that understanding in place, the president can make the announcement to the American people, and that deal has not yet been struck. And that's the best answer I can give you for your question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got another thought that may come in the back door on what you just said. I totally agree with everything. I think that's Pentagon is the key. But there is another thing, and that goes back to the fact that there's a saying, says something like, follow the money. If the CEO of ExxonMobil call the people or somebody on the Joint Chiefs and says, you know what's going to happen when the alien presence is acknowledged, the people are going to want their technologies, and there goes the oil business down the tube. That's going to destroy the economy. We can't have it happen. You better keep your mouth shut. I think the chiefs would listen, don't you?
No. Cui bono is a poor analytical tool. It has its place.
Yeah.
And following the money at times will be helpful. But, you know, when you get a cavity in your tooth, you have to go to the dentist.
Yeah.
And the dentist makes some money. Does that mean the dentist gave you the cavity? If the head of Exxon were to call up one of the joint chiefs at the Pentagon and tell him, I sure hope you don't do anything about this ET issue because we need to sell our oil, that chief would tell that Exxon executive to go straight to hell.
Well, yeah, okay. I sure hope you're right on that.
I believe I am.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh,
Yeah. Well, we got about 10 more minutes. If anyone wants to call in with a comment or question, it's your last chance here. Call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. I want to ask you a question. I know you're familiar with MUFON's new series running on the History Channel called Hangar One UFO Files. They're disclosing some really powerful information documenting all this that I guess been hidden from the public for a long time, or wasn't broadcast out there for large audiences to see and hear about. Do you think that's having any effect on maybe preparing the ground for disclosure?
I think all of these shows are helping prepare media, public, even political class for disclosure. I think it's very notable that MUFON has gotten this show together and is behind it and is getting a lot of attention because of it. Shows aren't bad. I occasionally think they're oversensational, but that happens. That's inevitable when you're trying to have a successful series. This comes at a very good time because MUFON, if it needs to get out in front, needs to get more exposure if it wants to be a force in the post-disclosure world. And, MUFON has, years ago, MUFON made the right decision to engage the contact phenomena, which is at the center of all of this. And it's also engaging exopolitical themes as well now. And so under the current leadership of Dan Carzan and others, MUFON is getting its act together, and I see good things ahead. Hangar One's not a bad show. I recommend people watch it. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, I think they had a million visits to the Huffington Post website on that topic of the Hangar One UFO file. So that means they got a huge, huge listing. Well, I mean, viewing audience now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Anything else you could tell us about that's coming up in the near future in the media that might be in the way of pushing more towards disclosure?
Let me just update people on what's coming. They need to look for articles about the Rockefeller Initiative in mainstream press. And all you do is just do a Google News search on Rockefeller Initiative. They need to follow closely any and all actions of John Podesta. Just periodically do a Google News search on John Podesta. I will be speaking at the Institute of Atlantic Sciences on this Thursday, 6:00. Dinner, potluck dinner, then 7:00 to speak. That's in Petaluma. If you want to learn about that, you need to go to the website Favors, FAVORS.org. I will be speaking at the Contact in the Desert Conference, May 29, 30, 31, Joshua Tree. I have a lecture and a workshop, and I'm also going to be on a moderating disclosure panel. I will also be speaking at the Laughlin Conference, Starworks USA Conference, in Laughlin, Nevada, in November. And I have links to these conferences on my website. They're easy enough to find, starworksusa.com. So that's just a taste of what's coming up. But pay attention, because I expect more mainstream coverage here of the Rockefeller Initiative, and then by extension, the Congressional Hearing Initiative. This is all reinforcing. In other words, we're working two tracks at the same time. One is a quiet track, private in a sense, a meeting on the Hill with staffers from different offices. I do not divulge who I'm meeting with. I only tell the press that I'm meeting the Senate and staffers so that we can have these discussions. That's moving along at a reasonable pace. On the other side, which is where I need more funding, hopefully, is the media process, where I've got a full-time publicist that is working the back channels of various media to get these stories into play, to get a breakthrough. And that's moving along. Either one of these tracks could generate a substantial breakthrough, and they tend to feed each other. Because the media knows that I'm meeting on the Hill, which interests them. And then the staffers on the Hill read these articles that get generated by this project, and that interests them. And so the plan is on schedule, moving forward. The goal, as I said, is congressional hearings soon, which in my view will, one way or another, end the truth embargo pretty quickly. The truth embargo cannot withstand congressional hearings. Now, by that, I don't mean two or three people sitting down for a couple of hours. I'm talking 25 witnesses, probably over several days, speaking to a range of evidence. And, of course, the citizen hearing on disclosure was a perfect representation of what that would be, though there are some witnesses that were not at the citizen hearing that will most certainly be at congressional hearings. Believe me, if these hearings are held, they will be the most watched hearings in the history of the United States Congress. Hundreds of millions of people will watch it from around the world.
And you have some witnesses that are remain anonymous until then, right?
The which ones will remain anonymous? I'm sorry?
You have some witnesses that are going to remain anonymous until the time comes for the congressional hearing?
Let's rephrase that. I believe there are some important witnesses who were not comfortable with testifying at the citizen hearing, which was a mock hearing, but they would testify in front of an actual congressional hearing. And so we anticipate some very interesting witnesses developing once those hearings are committed to.
Great. Before
in the meantime, what can we do to help out? Could we email the senators directly? What do you think we should do to help?
Well, your listeners could go to factsonwashington.org and toss some tweets and Facebook messages out there. All the information is right there. That's FAXonWashington.org. That was one of the sources for the social media campaign. Also, if they're on Facebook, they can join the Facebook group, the Disclosure Lobby. The Disclosure Lobby, a lot of information and tweets and Facebook were sent from there. So you do that. Beyond that, I mean, just pay attention.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody out there that has the means to provide some strong financial support to Paradigm Research Group, if you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, in the lower left corner, there's a little support link, standard stuff. My concern is just making sure we have enough funds to keep the congressional hearing initiative on schedule, to keep the pressure on and not have to back off at all. In other words, I want to give the congressional hearing initiative the greatest possible chance.
Yeah.
Funding helps there. That's about it. And of course, just doing the shows is great. I mean, you guys help by doing these shows. I mean, the internet media on the subject is critical for the entire process.
Before we end the show, I have a question from out of left field here I've got to ask. Do you think you might possibly get some ET help in pushing towards disclosure?
I'm afraid the ETs do not have me on their mail list. I do not have any information about what they would do or not do, so I can't count on it, and I don't worry about it. They're going to do whatever they want to do.
Well, maybe some of them are cheering you on, I hope.
Well, maybe one day I'll find that out. We'll see.
Yeah.
How many years have you been working on this before we get out of the air here?
It's now 19.
19 years. Whoa.
That's not as long as you think. Dan Friedman has been in this field for 55 years.
Wow.
Well, I think you're going to be very seeing you, the fruit of all your labors very soon. I sincerely wish that this you will see this within the next year or two at least. And
well, let's think a month or two. Let's stay positive. Let's think a month or two.
Okay.
Every activist wants to live to see the every advocate wants to live to see the success of their fundamental movement or the process. And many don't make it. I mean, we've lost a lot of people in this movement in just the last 2 years, a lot, and we're going to lose more. If I'm fortunate enough to see this finally resolved, then I will be very grateful.
Well, we're just out of time, I think, and we don't want to strain your voice anymore because you're going to have to speak again tonight at 6 o'clock, right?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay. Well, that'll give you enough time to rest up and be ready for that and take good care of yourself now. And thanks so much for making the effort to be on the show tonight. And
yeah, actually, it's Thursday. I'm in Noetic Sciences. I'm Petaluma, California, is on Thursday. Favors.org. Thanks again. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. I'll get back on then. We got some new developments.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to talking to you again here in the very near future, and maybe we'll be talking about a post-disclosure world actually being a fact at that time. Let's pray for that. So you have a good night, and thanks again for being our guest.
Thanks, gentlemen. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Good night.